This is episode 75 of Our Modern Heritage, the Home and Family Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Jody Chafee, and today I have on my show today a very special guest, my husband, Michael. Say hello.
Hello.
Thank you, Gus. It doesn't get old, does it?
No, sure doesn't. Gotta love Psych.
We love Psych. It's one of our favorite shows. But so I'm excited to have Michael on today because, you know, in the past, recently, I shared with you our story about this journey that we're on to why I started my podcast, the inspiration that we felt that, you know, our family culture had a good foundation in our values, but we discovered that our vision was really lacking. And so that started us on this journey of starting my podcast and me researching, you know, how to make money online and stumbling into ClickFunnels. And so that's part of our journey and the business that we're trying to start together. So I want to update you. We want to update you on how our journey is going and some, you know, just update you about the decisions that we made because we have made a really big decision lately.
Well, and it's not just an update. It's telling more of the story and our journey and getting my perspective also on this whole journey.
Yes. I'd love for you to get Michael's perspective because he and I are going to be working together a lot more from now on, and I'm excited about that as well. So, Michael, let's start out talking a little bit about your perspective of, you know, what has been happening over the last, you know, 10, 11 years and the journey that you've been on.
Well, 10 years ago, we moved to D.C. 11 years ago, we moved to Northern Virginia to grad school and to take that route. We thought that was the route that we wanted to go. We did the internship in Washington, D.C., where I was interning on Capitol Hill, and I really liked that. And the goal was after graduation to come back and do graduate school
and work on the Hill again,
or at least find a job doing public administration type work within the federal government, whether it was Congress or the executive branch, you know, one of those areas.
And it seemed like he'd be a shoo-in because he had the internship, he had the degree.
I was working on the graduate degree.
Yeah.
And, you know, the school that I was going to, they had a program where you could take classes at night. So the plan was work full-time during the day and do graduate school at night. Unfortunately, that didn't prove to be the case. And try as hard as I might, I couldn't find the jobs. I couldn't find a job on Capitol Hill, despite the internship. In fact, I did another internship while we were waiting to find a job. And despite all those things, I couldn't find something in the executive branch. I couldn't find something in the legislative branch. And so we ended up focusing exclusively on graduate school for a bit and then trying to find jobs again once I graduated. And even once I graduated, you know, the conflict then became that there was a hiring freeze. You know, I graduated right as the full tilt recession was going on and the federal government had their hiring freeze. Nobody wanted to really hire new workers and take on that cost. And so I was kind of left with this expensive degree and no job in the field that I wanted and trying to just find what I could to provide for my family.
And thankfully, I mean, you had a job that was at least covering, you know, our living expenses before our student loans.
Yeah.
It was at least supplementing our income. And that was, so what was going on inside of you that you're just thinking, what were you thinking? Like, what were your thoughts and your feelings through all of this?
Well, it started me down a downward spiral of depression and anxiety and wondering and questioning whether or not I was good enough and struggling because you wanted to be at home with the kids and do all those things. And so I was the one responsible to provide for our needs. And it never really felt like I was able to do that. And so that was a really hard struggle to get through.
So you did eventually find something. A friend of ours, you know, well, he came along and he offered you a job, and but it was a commission-based job, and so he worked long, crazy hours trying to, you know, just make ends meet, and he promised Michael that he'd be able to make a lot of money, and But so tell us more about that. What was going on there?
Well, the job was, you know, in real estate, and all real estate jobs are commission based. And so what I was paid was based on what I billed. And so, yeah, it required long hours, and it was a long commute into DC. If anybody understands or knows, you know, working around a big city like Washington, DC, the commute is terrible. And there were times where it would range anywhere between 45 minutes and 2 hours. And
when
so
we really, if there was no traffic, it was like 20 minutes.
and so it wasn't ideal, for the life that we wanted. And a lot of times we'd go in early, I'd work, and we'd have this long commute home, and I'd spend like an hour and a half with the kids and the family, and then I'd be working again later that night to keep finishing up stuff. Or because this was a real estate related profession, I needed to get a certification, and so that meant taking classes, and that was an added expense, and it meant the time to study for these classes and the tests that came with them.
Yeah. So he, about, 3 years ago now, almost?
It was 3 years ago, yeah.
We had the opportunity, he was moved to a different manager within the company, and we had the opportunity to move to Richmond. So he was still working for the same company. And then a year into it, working in Richmond, about a year into it, right? A year and a half?
About a year and a half.
It just wasn't a good situation. And so Michael decided that he was going to try to leave, and that didn't work out.
that would create a whole different
it was a lot
set
of drama.
Of circumstances and drama, to try and go work with a friend of mine who'd originally hired me in at this company, who had started his own company. And so there was drama around that. And the end result of that was I stopped working for the Richmond office and worked for an office out of California, and that lasted about 8 months, and until finally I was done and didn't want to do that anymore.
Working for that company just wasn't working out.
I wasn't satisfied and I wasn't happy, and I was tired of broken promises and misleading statements, and so I ended up leaving and then working for this friend and trying to make that work as an independent contractor with him.
Yeah, so that was kind of a new journey. That was different because, I mean, after he started working out of the office in California, we didn't move to California. We stayed in Richmond. And so he was working from home full time. And that was a different kind of transition. I mean, he'd worked from home pretty often. Like he was saying, he'd work at night and stuff like that. And sometimes they wouldn't go into the office and he could work remotely. But after he started working for the office out of California, he was working from home full time. And so then the decision to just leave that company altogether, start being basically a freelancer for his friend again and working it for his company, it was a little bit easier transition since you're already working from home, I would say.
That part of it was easy, but there were also some scary things too, because it meant no longer we'd have corporate insurance and we'd have to figure out how we were going to do insurance and taxes and how we were going to structure all of those things as an independent contractor.
So that's where we have been for the last 6 months or so. 8 months?
8 months.
8 months.
Yeah.
And working from home. And that was like, okay, this is good. You know, he can basically decide how much or how little work he wanted, and he could decide what kind of work he was going to do for this company, you know, because he was basically independent.
Sort of. I mean, there was still only
right,
so
you
much.
Still have
there's
to
only
answer
so
to
much
job,
work
you know?
that they had, and so I was just kind of stuck taking whatever assignments I could get.
Still unhappy.
Yeah.
You know, still doing the same work. It was the same industry, even if it was a different company, and. And so we started to get this sense that there needs to be something different. And, you know, after I started this podcast and have been doing all this research into how to make money online, how to start a business, how to be entrepreneurial, you know, this journey for me has been parallel to Michael having this journey of, you know, not being able to find jobs and those things just not panning out. And, you know, we just started to realize that if those things were supposed to work out, then they would have. And so we felt like God was telling us something different. He was leading us down a different path, preparing us or teaching us and refining us. And there were things that we were supposed to be learning along this journey. And a lot of it has been what I've been learning as far as being entrepreneurial, being independent, being deliberate about our family culture.
We were led to this ultimate decision. Like, you know, looking back where we are now to over the last 3 years, we were kind of led up to this decision, being able to make this decision to just leave.
Yep.
And try something new, try something different, try something that we hadn't done before. And that this whole process started, you know, a couple months ago. You know, this in church this year, we're studying the New Testament, and we were discussing, you and I, and in our personal time that we were using in the scriptures, the Peter and walking on water and how he leapt out of the boat and how he walked towards the Savior, and how that was such a miracle. And the impression that we were getting was that we needed to do something similar in our own lives if we wanted to create this change that we feel like we felt like we needed to make. And we needed to do something drastic, something new, something scary.
Something unfamiliar, you know, because we'd been following this path of familiarity for so long. Every decision that we made, it was just, well, this is our only decision, or we quit altogether, or start, you know, go live with our parents or something or whatever. Like, those were our only two options this whole time. It was either, okay, maintain the status quo or do something totally drastic, totally unfamiliar. And along the journey, you know, along this way, it never felt right. It never felt like we could just quit. Mm-hmm. We always felt like, well, we can't. We have a family to provide for. We have, you know, expenses to fulfill and responsibilities and things like that. And so kind of we were holding on to this perception of how, you know, we would be seen maybe in a little bit, but also because we just felt like it would be irresponsible to just walk away and not be able to not know how we were going to provide for our family. But again, if we felt like something else was supposed to work out, it would have. But nothing else has ever worked out. And we have felt like that inspiration to just leap out of the boat was like the... I think that was the turning point, mm-hmm. you know, that we were just ready. Like, that was the message that we felt like we were getting from all of this, is that staying on the boat, sticking with the status quo, trying to maintain what we've already known, was just not working out for us.
Well, and it's one of the few times in my life where I feel like the Spirit has beaten me over the head over and over again with this idea, because... You know, as we talked about it, as we went back and forth, well, if I do this, when should we do it? When should we quit? When should I, you know, when is a good time to do this? And as we went back and forth, you know, the Spirit kept hitting me over the head with this idea. And I kept seeing it in every parable, in every story that we were studying, in the talks that we were listening to. Everything kept leading me back to this decision.
The scriptures that we were reading.
And so... It's one of those few times where it just felt like we have to do this, and we have to do it immediately. There, if we want to create this change, if we want to create this life, we need to just leap.
Yeah. So what were some of the scriptures that stood out to you? I mean, yeah, there was the one about Peter and focusing on Christ, and that's really what it came down to, was that focus on Christ, that this was our leap of faith and trust in Him. And then there were some other scriptures and things that stood out as well.
There was the parable or the story of the woman touching the hem of his cloth, or the hem of his robe, and how she was healed just by that simple action. But it took an immense amount of, you know, her faith, not to believe that just touching it would heal her. And there were many other scriptures in both the New Testament, the Book of Mormon, and then General Conference talks, as we read through General Conference, and especially this last General Conference, it really felt like that was the final nail in this decision, was the General Conference talks, because so many of them just felt like they were speaking directly to me and to our situation.
So there was one in particular, Brooks Hales.
Brooks Hales of the 70.
He talked about how to receive answers to prayers, and that one way is that, you know, God answers our prayers right away. And that's a blessing when you know, we say a prayer, and soon thereafter, we receive that answer. The second way was that sometimes the answer is no until something else comes along, and that God is trying to teach us a lesson, or there's some work that we need to do to grow in order to be ready for that blessing. And then sometimes the answer is not in this life. And so we felt like that second one really resonated with us because, you know, we've been praying for 10, 11 years that the right thing would work out, that something would come along and answer our prayers.
Well, and let me just add too that it's not just that we were praying, it's that we were doing the work too. I was applying for jobs that I was qualified for, jobs that I was underqualified for, jobs that I was overqualified for. You know, jobs, we were applying for jobs to try and find something that would work, and nothing was happening. And so we couldn't understand why. And that's why this second option in this talk, or the second type of answer, resonated so much with me. Was because he gave the story of his son while he was out at BYU. And in his freshman year, he got this job working at BYU. And he loved it, and he wanted to keep doing it. And it seemed like almost as if it was planned this way, that the job opened up for him to get a full-time position doing what he wanted to be doing in the same office just as he was graduating. And he applied, and he had the interview, and everything was going really well. But he didn't get the job, and he was devastated, and he didn't understand why. And it was because, and it was something that they didn't find out until later on, but it was because if he'd gotten that job, other opportunities that became available to him wouldn't have been available. He wouldn't have had those opportunities, and he needed to have these future opportunities to be who the Lord needed him to be, or to be who he needed himself to be. And even though he didn't understand that at the time, the Lord did. And so he didn't get this job. And so that really resonated with me as, you know, maybe that's why, and that's why we haven't gotten these jobs in the past, is because we needed this trial of our faith, this trial of ourselves to lead us to this point, to be willing to leap out of the boat and try something incredibly scary by starting this new opportunity, this new job of working together, of creating something on our own.
Yeah. And so, you know, Michael and I have always wanted to work together ever since before we were married. We'd work together on a regional conference for our church. And, you know, we worked on a campus job at BYU together that we enjoyed working together. And anytime we get to work together and do stuff together, you know, it's just been awesome. And so it's always been our dream and our goal to work together. And so Michael making this decision to leave his job, we just couldn't deny it. We couldn't deny that this was the right thing to do. And that's what we're working on. We, you know, and also this idea that God has a plan. You know, in my interview with Kaylin Sherwood, if you haven't listened to that yet, I hope you'll go back and listen to it because actually, and then subscribe to the second half of the interview because I hint to this decision that we are making. In that, you know, we don't know what the outcome is going to be. We don't know what the result is going to be. But in the end, that doesn't matter. Because what we want is to live now deliberately in a way that will strengthen our family and not wait for some result that might happen in order to live happy. You know, it's like, we don't want to be like, oh yeah, someday when this happens, someday when you have a job that you're going to enjoy, someday when whatever it is. Why can't we just live happy now? And so that's been our realization and our goal too, is that it's okay not to know because God is shaping us now to live the life that we want. And if that result comes and we're not living that way, who's to say that that result is what's going to make us happy? We just don't know. We can't hold out for some result and then forget about being now in the process. And we just wanted to like let go of that destination fever, that you know, that feeling like, oh, someday. What about right now? And living this way of him working all the time and being scared all the time, and being miserable all the time. It was just, it wasn't, that's not the life we want. And so this decision really has allowed us to, even though it's scary, that win or lose, you know, at least we tried and we've done the things that we felt like that God was inspiring us to do. You know, we jumped off the boat, and yes, there are storms and there are waves and there are things that we just, that distract us from keeping our focus on the Savior. But as we regroup, we come together, we talk about those things that are frustrating us or scaring us or giving us pause or confusion, you know, with those things, like as we regroup and come together to talk about those things and study it out and pray and focus on the Savior, we get that reassurance that we're doing the right thing, we're on the right path, and that's become our focus, to nourish our spirits and our relationships in a way that is strengthening our family and is deliberate. Do you have something you wanted to say about that?
Well, there's a quote that has really resonated with me for a long time, and even more so now that we're going down this path. And it's by Theodore Roosevelt, and he said, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat." End quote. And I really appreciate that, because for the longest time, I feel like I was the cold and timid soul. I was afraid to really make the drastic change and try something that was both new and scary. And with these epiphanies, with the changes, with the impressions, I feel like I'm finally moving into this arena and being willing to, come what may, just get into the arena and try. And if I fail, you know, get back up again. If I fall, get back up again and try something and just do something that is hard and work and dare greatly, as he said, and as Brené Brown is always talking about.
And yeah, there are definitely storms and waves and times when I just think, oh my goodness, what is going to become of us? But ultimately, you know, there's that quote from C.S. Lewis where he talks about being, you know, just being a cottage, and that God comes in and he starts tearing down walls and at first you think, oh yeah, I need these repairs, but then he starts, you know, ripping off the roof and the walls, and you're going, oh, that hurts really bad.
Knocking down walls.
Yeah. And you're going, and he says, well, I don't want you to just be a cottage. I want you to be a mansion. And that, we can't see that now, but that's kind of the point too, is that in order to make real change and to become something that you don't recognize, you don't even know what it is, you got to do things that you don't recognize. You got to do things that are scary and unknown, to achieve the results that are so unknown. So that's what I wanted to update you about. We are on a path that is completely uncharted for us. And it's a path that, you know, we're going through this transformation as a way to demonstrate to our audience and to our children that in order to live deliberately, sometimes you do have to jump off the boat. You have to buck the status quo and do things that are completely unfamiliar to you, like walking on water. and so throughout this journey, I will be updating you, of course, and letting you know that the things that I've learned are from, you know, this journey of learning about family culture, learning about what it takes to live deliberately, and talking to people who are doing things that are intentional and deliberate. And so that's what I hope to share with you. And if you're on this journey, if you are thinking about quitting your job, or you're thinking about doing something that's different, then we're here. We support you. We're on that journey too. And we'll see where it goes. But we're determined to be process oriented. We are determined that this is each day is part of this journey, and we're not going to wait till some result or some, you know, maybe checking off certain boxes to be happy. You know, that we can be happy now, we can live our goals and our dreams now, and we're going to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, right?
Whatever it takes, just like the Avengers.
Just like Captain America. But win or lose, you know, there are, you know, maybe there are going to be sacrifices that we make along the way, and that's okay, because we are becoming refined, we're becoming, you know, what we're supposed to be, and you only get one life. And so I'd rather be doing it and living in it a way that we feel like is in alignment with our faith, in alignment with our values, and the vision that we have for our family. So join me on this journey. I'll be posting on Instagram at Family Culture Podcast. Michael will be, he has a public Instagram at the IND Brief. It's short for the Independent Brief. And so it's the IND Brief.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So you can follow him there. He'll post sometimes because he is interested in leadership and he'll also be sharing in politics and history and he'll
current events.
Yeah. And so he'll be posting there. He'll also post sometimes here on Family Culture Podcast, or he'll be sharing some of his thoughts around people in history and how they were inspired by their family culture. And so that's going to become part of more. He's going to contribute more to this brand. So tune in there at Family Culture Podcast on Instagram and come check out their show notes at homeandfamilyculture.com. And just join me and enjoy this content and share it. Come onto iTunes and leave a review. I'd really appreciate if you'd leave a review and a rating, because that helps to share this message with other people. It gets more publicity, more out there. So please go and do that for me. I'd really appreciate it. Thank you again for listening. Thank you for following along. And please remember what Mother Teresa said, that if you want to change the world, go home and love your family.